Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. It's the game day edition on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Excited to be here with you, bringing you the week two action, week two information for myself, Scott Engel, and Jim Day. We're excited to be here once again. It is action-packed, full of information, I can assure you of that. Lots of injury updates, big storylines, and we'll just get started with one of the major storylines, and that's that Josh Gordon is set to be released. There are trade scenarios potentially going on with Cleveland to other teams. As you can imagine, he'll be picked up as soon as he's released. He showed up late to practice late to the facility on Saturday, complained of a pulled hamstring. People are rumored to think that he wasn't himself, and that led to a various amounts of speculation regarding what his status is, his mind frame is. And Josh, as we know, has suffered from substance abuse and addiction issues in the past. So I'll go to Scott Engel first. Scott Engel can be found on Twitter at Scott E. Roto X, King of Fantasy, Fantasy Hall of Famer, and the Managing Director of Roto Experts. So Scotty, your thoughts on the Josh Gordon scenario?
I think this is the risk that you knew you were taking, good morning, when you drafted him, and that any time that Josh Gordon could be out of action. People were very excited to draft him, but you know, this is the danger that you took on when you drafted Josh Gordon in, say, the fifth round. So hopefully you have good fantasy depth. I think this also hurts Tyrod Taylor. You know, as a two quarterback league kind of guy as well. It means Jarvis Landry is going to like just suck up a lot of targets.
You know, Jim, he's a guy that's barely played since the 2014 season. He's more talked about than any player that's played as little as he has in the last four seasons. Yet, it is a big blow to some fantasy owners. You know, in the Scott Fishbowl League, which is a free league, but a very prestigious industry-wide league, Josh Gordon was one of my earlier picks. And you commented on my roster when you first saw it, and you thought, hey, you know what? If this hits with your wide receivers, this could be something. So I assumed all the risks. I blame no one but myself. But here I sit with Josh Gordon potentially catching on with another team, but we just don't know when, where, or how that's going to work out.
Yeah, I'm not going to jump right in and say, you know, that's a wasted pick. If he does land with somebody else, look, this guy still has amazing talent when on the field. Unfortunately, he's having a hard time getting on the field. And like you said, you knew those risks going in. At that point, he was worth the risk to try and see if you get that upside out of him. You know, if it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. You knew that was a possibility as well. Hopefully, most owners who did draft him understood that. You know, I didn't draft a lot of them. I have a few shares of them just for diversification. But, you know, it is what it is. This is a guy who steps on the field, when he steps on the field and plays, is a guy that's probably a consensus top 10 wide receiver in this league. Unfortunately, he's just got too many things going on, too many headaches. And now they're reporting that the team thought that they were afraid for his sobriety and maybe he was ready to relapse. And, you know, all of this stuff comes into fruition. They had said preseason that, you know, he was going to be a one and done thing. If he had one more issue, they were done with him after all these years of wasted time.
Yeah, you can't really blame them. I think they've been good to him overall. They've protected him as much as they can. And they're just going to turn the page on it. I don't know what kind of draft pick they'll get for it. I can't imagine it'll be particularly valuable. But, you know, somebody, it just takes one team to surprise me a little bit. So That's really it for Josh Gordon. Clearly unplayable this week. I don't know how bad that hamstring thing is. You know, the funny part is, I'm not going to criticize Cleveland here because they've been as good to him as they can be. But they ran him out there for a ton of snaps last week when they said they were going to have him on a pitch count because he hadn't had a full training camp. The hamstring issue creeps up, Scott, and one could point to the fact that maybe he was overworked in week one.
I don't even know if it's about that. You know, there were just other issues about, they were saying, you know, it was more than his health, that he didn't show up on time for a team meeting, et cetera, that he just wasn't handling himself in terms of off the field as they wanted to. So I think it's more than just a hamstring injury from what, for what we're seeing.
Yeah, so, Jim, I'll turn the page over to, there's so much injury news, which we will get to in this segment and the next one as much as we can. But just to make a note on the Thursday night game, Bengals-Ravens, you'd have a nice output there from A.J. Green. I thought Andy Dalton played really well in the first half. Flacco puts the ball up over 50 times. Not the way the Ravens are going to win games, but the fallout from that game ends up being the Joe Mixon news that he had to have a surgical procedure and it could have him out up to a month. It obviously immediately increases the value of G.R. Bernard. Anything else on the Mixon scenario?
Well, there's not really a ton at this point. Hopefully it's on the lesser side. They're saying 2 to 4 weeks. There's even some speculating that he may only end up missing 1 week. I don't think the 1 week is real. I think 2 weeks at minimum is probably more realistic at this point. Bernard is definitely a good backup and definitely someone who, you know, can be put into that role. But I just can't expect as much from Bernard as we expected from Mixon. Until Mixon gets back, I think that's a tough scenario to want to be able to put Bernard in your starting lineup and really get the same kind of numbers.
Yeah. So, Scott, I'll keep going around this injury wheel because there's a ton of news there. And Aaron Rodgers is expected to start, as of this morning, is the news that I'm reading, expected to start. You have him number 12 in your rankings. Obviously, he's going to be dealing with a knee issue, even if he's able to play, against a very good defense in Minnesota. So clearly he's not the type of guy that you bench, but you might have some muted expectations this week for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Seeing the news, last night that he's going to play, it's still hard for me to bench him. You know, he's still a QB1 against Minnesota. I know it's a tough matchup, but it is Aaron Rodgers, and there are just some guys that are matchup proofing. And he's one of them. We've seen him do the job and play through injuries before. If you want to start him over anybody else, I really don't blame you.
Now, this is a different version of this Minnesota team than from years past, but I heard a stat during the week that Aaron Rodgers has the highest quarterback rating versus one team in the history of the NFL. It's his rating against the Vikings. So he's obviously done damage to them over the years. This is not your father's or your older brother's Minnesota Vikings defense, though. They're very tough, but nonetheless, you put him out there. Devontae Adams also banged up, though, Jim, and it could potentially shift some targets down the line a little bit to Cobb, Geronimo Allison, and the like.
Well, actually, the injury itself might do that because with that knee injury, he's probably going to be playing out of the shotgun a lot this week. Last week after the injury, he played 22 out of 23 snaps after the injury in the shotgun. So we can expect to see that again this week. Look, Minnesota is just going to dare them to beat them in the running game, which they really, Green Bay can't do. And they're just going to come at Rodgers with everything they have. So this is going to be a tough matchup, and it's going to be a wonder if Rodgers can even finish the game if they keep coming at him hard and heavy. I think the guy this favors, as long as Rodgers is in the lineup, is Cobb.
I'm with you. I think Cobb is a really good value for DFS, and I think it's a week that you can consider starting Randall Cobb. I have him in a couple of leagues, and I have some really hard decisions there. It's like some Randall Cobb versus Derrick Henry type of decisions, in the flex to see who my best value is. So I'll get to those a little bit later in the show. I have some pretty interesting conundrums there. So, Scotty, the Seahawks are very banged up on defense right now, And I think it's worth noting for, I know it's tomorrow night's game, but I saw that news a little bit later in the day as I was going through my research, and they're going to be missing Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, and I believe another starting defender too. His name escapes me. So this could create a scenario where...
Trey Flowers.
There you go. So Trey Flowers. So this could create a scenario where they get into a little bit of a shootout here in Chicago tomorrow night.
It's, you know, you would think that, but then you got to take it. It's an opportunity, but can Mitch Trubisky take advantage of the opportunity? I'm not so sure. I think this really improves things for Jordan Howard. They've even used him more in the passing game, and for Tariq Cohen. Mitch Trubisky has not shown absolutely anything that he can take advantage of a matchup like this. That's the issue. You know, losing Wagner is a big blow, you know, to the run defense. So I think this improves the outlook for the running backs more than anything. Trey Flowers was like a rookie that they were trying to convert from safety. So, you know, going to Justin Coleman on the outside and putting Nico Thorpe in the slot, I don't know if that's a big downgrade for the pass defense.
It's a great point. It's a great point, Scott. So a couple of notes in Miami, Jim. Miami Dolphins guard Josh Sitton, who they just got from the Bears in free agency, is out for the remainder of the season, torn rotator cuff. And Dolphins receiver Devontae Parker, a full participant in practice. I bring this up as a note. People haven't been high on Parker, but he was certainly drafted with a certain amount of draft capital. But also losing a Pro Bowler like Josh Sitton, it could potentially hurt that run game for Kenyon Drake in the long term.
Oh, it absolutely will hurt that run game. This line was, you know, not the greatest to begin with, and this is definitely a big blow to them. They expected big things from Sitton, so to lose him for the year is definitely a hurting factor. Look, I'm not a Devontae Parker enthusiast in any way, shape, or form. I don't think the man has ever lived up to his potential. I'm not sure he's going to do it this week coming off his injury. So for me, I mean, Kenny Stills is still a play in this offense at this point, and pretty much the only play for me.
I think I'm with you at this point. Scott, I've tried not to bury the lead but there's just so many injuries ongoing. I'm having to go through it. The Leonard Fournette scenario is obviously concerning. He's the one I'm least concerned about with some of the other running backs, only because they said he hadn't been limping. He seemed like he was practicing in a limited fashion, but now he's saying it's a game-time decision. You got to have TJ Yeldon on the ready, correct?
Well, it doesn't look like he's going to play at all.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
So two reports yesterday that he's not expected to play at all, so you got to have TJ Yeldon at the ready. You know, a guy who can you know, threaten this New England defense, you know, with his versatility and his incredible ability to run well in short space. You know, TJ Yeldon, I believe, was like originally like a second round pick. So the kid's talented. He's explosive when he has the ball in his hands as a pass receiver. So he's a really nice play today.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We'll stop. We'll pause there and discuss this for a minute. Of all the handcuffs that were out there, I'll be the first one to say, you know, I talked about James Conner a lot. I thought you had to have him ready to go. We talked about Austin Eckler quite a bit. And TJ Yeldon, while he was drafted pretty late in some leagues, I didn't feel like enough discussion was dedicated to TJ Yeldon, Jim, because he was somewhat valuable in deeper leagues, even if Fournette was playing. And now with Fournette out, I know he's not your workhorse back, but for a while there, for a couple of weeks, if that's what keeps Fournette out a couple of weeks, TJ Yeldon could be really valuable.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, I was trying to tell people that he's definitely someone, if you draft Fournette where they were drafting him, in some cases very late in the draft season, he was going at the end of the first round. And, you know, if you're going to put a first round pick on him, you have to come back and get Yeldon a little later. Just because of this. And not only this, I mean, with all the foot injuries that he's had to bear with, that this is definitely something that had to be taken into account. And one thing we saw last week was on the waiver wire were people scrambling to try and get Yeldon in leagues where he wasn't even drafted. And that's usually like the shallower 12 and 10 team leagues that happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a guy that definitely will be in the game plan today, if not gaining valuable rushing yards, he will be used in the passing game in a game where they're going to need him.
Yeah, agreed. So flipping over to another major injury issue, Devontae Freeman is out for the Falcons, Scott. So that puts Tevin Coleman on likely the biggest chalk play in the entire DFS slate. I certainly have him in lineups. But he was a guy that had actually a lot of draft capital because we saw both running backs were utilized in this offense quite a bit. But the reality is that I almost think to some extent Coleman can stand up to being a workhorse back better than Devonta Freeman. And I've told people all during preseason, I thought Tevin Coleman in keeper leagues was a really key pick in that fourth or fifth round where he was going, because you can keep him and he's going to be a starting running back somewhere next year. His contract is up and he'll probably be in another city unless Atlanta wants to keep him somehow and get rid of Freeman, but they'd lose a lot of money on that. In any event, Tevin Coleman going to be the workhorse back today in Atlanta against Carolina, correct?
Yeah, it looks like it should be that way. T.O. Smith is more of like a change of pace back. I remember at the beginning of Tevin Coleman's career, his debut against the Giants, he was running real well, and then he got injured. We didn't know how that backfield was going to play out in his rookie year, and Freeman's going to miss at least another week. And, Freeman dealing with all these concussions, soft tissue injuries, he's become a real injury risk at this point of his career.
Yeah, I only got about halfway through my injury list there, so we'll keep trying to go through it as we go through the games. I guess one more, a significant one, Marquise Goodwin, 49ers wide receiver, Jim. He'll be out today. That should funnel targets over to Pierre Garçon, George Kittle, conceivably Trent Taylor, correct?
Well, actually, they're stating that Dante Pettis, the rookie, is going to be starting on the outside this week. So he makes a really good play in DFS this week in cash games, I think, because he's going to be a guy that's probably lesser owned, could get up there for you.
I love that. Of all the rookie wide receivers we talked about, Dante Pettis is not the guy expected to be bursting onto the scene in week two. It's Mike, Jim, and Scott on Fantasy Sports Today. It's the game day edition. Join us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on FST, the game day edition. If you want to hit us up today on Twitter, please do so at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott Engel is at Scott E. Roto X. And Jim Day is at Fantasy Taz. That's T-A-Z. If you've listened to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app or TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio, thanks. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. And a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thanks for joining us on this Sunday. Trying to bring you all the fantasy news here over the next 2 hours. And we're going to do it by going through Scott Engel's rankings position by position. I'll keep trying to update you on injuries and weather scenarios and all that kind of stuff all the way throughout. And the way you can find Scott Engel's rankings is to go to rotoexperts.com. Click on the exclusive Edge in-season package. You'll find a variety of information in there, including these lineup ranks. So before we get to the QB rankings, the weather situation has really improved, I guess, is the one thing I would say. We thought that the Washington Colts game in D.C. was going to be really brutal because of Hurricane Florence, which I'll pause for a moment and say that our thoughts are with all those people affected by Hurricane Florence. I know there have been some fatalities and widespread damage along the coast down in the Carolinas. So our thoughts are with those people. Back to football, we thought it was going to impact the game in Washington quite a bit. It will conceivably impact the game in Nashville with the Texans facing the Titans, but the sustained wind is supposed to be a little bit lower, like 10 to 15 miles an hour, with gusts of up to 20 to 25, but not a sustained wind there. So we dodged a bullet, I guess, as far as the weather is concerned. Right, Jim?
Yeah, as far as I can see, I'm not seeing any real games that are going to be affected by weather at all.
Yeah. So Scotty, we'll go to your rankings first. And your guy, Russell Wilson, tops the list. He'll be playing tomorrow night. Phil Rivers there comes in at number two, expecting him to take advantage of the Buffalo defense. We got Drew Brees at three, Tom Brady at four, Ben Roethlisberger at five, Cam Newton at six, Pat Mahomes at seven in a very high total game in Pittsburgh. You have Roethlisberger, Mahomes in the top seven. And then Kirk Cousins comes in at number eight. Cam Newton had a 82.4 rating, a rush for 58 yards and a touchdown last week. He has 55 career rushing touchdowns, the most by any QB in NFL history. So he aims for his seventh game in a row with 50-plus rushing yards, Scott. So obviously you like Cam there against Atlanta.
Yeah, I like him okay. I don't think he has as much upside as, say, a Mahomes this week necessarily. But there are some significant injuries on that Atlanta defense. Keanu Neal, no Deion Jones. So I think there's going to be a lot of read pass option today. Him and McCaffrey should be very successful.
So, Jim, anything there in the top eight guys that you like or don't like as much? You know, the Brady down in Jacksonville thing is interesting because Tom Brady's always going to be highly ranked. It's hard to walk into a week and bump him down your list a whole bunch. Aaron Rodgers got a gimpy knee going up against Minnesota. It's understandable. But Brady, outside of that, Rodgers is usually in that top five or six every time. Brady here going on the road against Jacksonville, Scott still has some faith in him. Do you feel the same?
Oh, absolutely. It's hard not to have faith in Tom Brady at this point. Let's face it. It doesn't matter. He's shown over the years it doesn't matter what defense he goes against, doesn't matter who he has at wide receiver. He's going to find ways to move the ball down the field and get in the end zone, whether it be Gronk or not. So, yeah, it's hard not for me not to push him down any further. I mean, four or five, usually the deepest you're going to go with him. My big thing for Scott is, you know, I want to ask him about Russell Wilson being number one. Is that, you know, is that a little bit of homerism falling in there, Scott? Is that the Seattle love coming up to bear there? Because, I mean, most people have Russell Wilson down quite a bit this week going against that Chicago defense in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, that's the second time I've got asked that this week. And anybody who's been listening to me for a long time, I know you're just busting my chops that has absolutely nothing to do with it. I never make a rank based on that. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson is matchup proof. He was the top scoring fantasy quarterback last year. Last week, the Chicago Bears gave up three touchdown passes to Aaron Rodgers, and he faced a better Denver defense last week and threw three touchdown passes and had over 290 yards passing. And this is not as good a defense as Denver, so there's every reason to rank Russell Wilson number one.
Before we continue, I'll tell you that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering at all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. So using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So we continue down through, you know, I'll get to the Matt Ryan thing in a minute, but we'll continue down through the rankings. Jimmy Garoppolo at number nine, he's home against a Detroit defense that looked like they don't know how to play defense, or at least they didn't a week ago. Andrew Luck comes in at number 10. I kind of like that there. I expect some points to be put up. Especially now that the weather concerns are out, I like some points to be put up with Washington and Indianapolis. Deshaun Watson at number 11, Aaron Rodgers at 12. We talked about him. Jared Goff at 13 in a game where they are two touchdown favorite. Case Keenum at 14, Alex Smith at 15, and Matt Stafford at 16. So, Jim, I'll let you pick out one of those guys and comment on them, whether you feel good or you feel not so good about it. But I have a comment about the Washington-Indianapolis game after you.
Well, I think Scott is a little lower on Alex Smith this week than I am, down at 15. I actually have him at 10 this week going up against Indianapolis at home. I think Alex Smith can put up some points this week. I know they're going to run as well, but he's going to get a few passes out to Chris Thompson, which will go in his book. And I just think these wide receivers are going to be much more involved in this one than they were last week. I definitely expect a bounce back from Jamison Crowder as well.
I mean,
I don't hate Alex Smith at all this week. It's just relative. It's just I happen to like the quarterbacks, ahead of him better. And, it just shows how deep the position is.
Yeah, Smitty had a good game last week, and they were blowing him out. So, I mean, they gave Adrian Peterson the ball 28 times. I have Adrian Peterson one league, and I think he could be a really valuable asset for me. But not if he gets the ball 28 times a week for this reason. I think he'll finally break down if they keep doing that. I would rather him be touching it 20 times and be more efficient as opposed to me using him for a month and then him getting hurt. But Smitty played well last week, 255 with two touchdowns and no turnovers for a 118.1 rating in his debut last week. So I like him there. You continue with Matt Stafford at 16, Sam Darnold at 17, Tyrod Taylor at 18. The guy that I thought, I'm a little surprised you don't have him in there, is Matty Ice. I know that's a homer thing for me with the Boston College thing, but I think they're going to right the ship a little bit here, and there could be some points put up here. He aims for his third in a row versus Carolina with 300-plus passing yards, and in his past eight at home versus the division, he has 2,663 passing yards. That's 332.9 yards per game with 16 touchdowns and five picks for a 110 rating. So he has played really well in the division, and he's played really well at home as well.
Yeah, but I'm not a big fan of Ryan is after what I saw last week.
I didn't play well.
Maybe a little too much recency bias. And again, it's all relative. You want to roll Matt Ryan out there this week. I'm not going to vehemently argue it, but there's no way he's a QB1 with the way that he's been playing over the last year plus. This guy can't get the ball into the end zone, and touchdowns are the lifeblood of fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, I have a Big Ben, Matt Ryan choice today, Jim, and it's an easy one, obviously. I'm going to play Ben. Even he's expected to play, by the way. I know there's been some injury concerns with Roethlisberger, but there always is. He's like always somewhat injured. So he's going to be out there and playing today, and I don't have a problem playing him at home. The reality for Ben is that you got to play him at home, right, Jim?
Yeah, I have to. Actually, I have Ben as my number three quarterback this week. I definitely expect him to have a huge week this week. And look, like you said, he's hard to play on the road, but you get him at home against this KC defense, you got to love this matchup. And what is, Vegas is expected to be the highest scoring game of the week. They have him at an over-under of 54 points. You got an implied point total for Pittsburgh of just over 29 points. So they're going to put the ball in the air. They're going to do it well against this KC defense that can't stop anybody right now.
Yeah, from a DFS standpoint of all the QBs we've talked about, I think you're going to be looking at Ben Roethlisberger. They have a 29.75 implied total at home. Jimmy Garoppolo is really a great value as well in that second tier. They have a 27 implied total at home. His price is a little softer on DraftKings, so I think you can get him there. On FanDuel, his pricing is a little bit closer to Ben Roethlisberger, so I think it's a little trickier there, but on DraftKings, I think you're going to be banging in Jimmy Garoppolo into your lineups. I really like Alex Smith, particularly on DraftKings. He's cheap. I think Matt Ryan is a really good value on DraftKings, all the way down to 5,700. Deshaun Watson is a pretty interesting value as well. Let me get your thoughts there on those two quarterbacks, Scott. Deshaun Watson versus Marcus Mariota. Mariota dealing with an elbow issue. Deshaun Watson did not play well against the Patriots. He falls all the way down to number 11 in your rankings. You still have him in QB1, so you're not criticizing that much. But he falls down from his perch where he was in week one a little bit. But give me your thoughts on maybe how this game plays out between Watson and Mariota.
Yeah, I like Deshaun Watson actually as contrarian DFS play today as well. This is a good rebound spot for him because I think Tennessee's defense is going to be on the field a lot, even though they're getting healthy at linebacker. Blaine Gabbert is trending towards him starting to play at quarterback, which certainly doesn't help Tennessee at all. In that same game, I like the Houston defense, and it might be available in a lot of leagues still on your free agent list, so you might want to go check that out this morning. Watson has to prove, last week he just kept going for the big play and showing that he wasn't going to take the high percentage pass to move the chains. Hopefully, the coaching staff has watched the film and is going to curb that, going this week. So it's a rebound spot for Deshaun Watson. He's still ranked as a QB1.
Jim, I was all in on the Titans during the preseason. I started to have some concerns because they weren't playing well through the preseason. And then last week was a huge dud, and then Mariota obviously got injured. Delanie Walker out for the year. I like a little bit of a bounce back week for them. Doesn't mean they're going to tear the roof off the Houston defense, but I like them for a little bit of a bounce back here. I'm just curious about your thoughts about Mariota moving forward.
Well, I've never, Mariota last year had a terrible year. They said it was mostly injury related. He just never really felt right. Coming into this year, they said he was healthy. All signs pointed to him getting back on, track of what he was earlier in his career, except we haven't seen it yet this year. Preseason was terrible, like you said. First game was terrible. Now we got the injury for him. They're saying he may still play a little bit in this game, which is weird. They're going to play both of them, which is never helps anybody at this point. So I can't really see me wanting to play any Tennessee players at this point. I have absolutely no faith in Blaine Gabbert as a quarterback in the NFL. So I think they put a ton of pressure on him. I don't think he does much. I just can't see playing any Tennessee player this week as long as we don't know Mariota's even going to play much.
That's terrible.
I think the one guy you have to flex is Deion Lewis, though.
Yeah, there you
especially
go.
Especially if they're playing from behind.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Deion Lewis is a good play. Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed him. But he'd be the only one I would really even trust just because of those check down passes. So
Daily Roto's
that would probably be the only play.
Yeah, DailyRoto.com. You should go to DailyRoto.com. I'll get into a read a little bit later. But a Daily Roto subscriber won $1 million last week in week one. That's the seventh time that's happened. So they put their money where their mouth is, and they're the subscribers, of which we are all, since it's part of the same company, well, hopefully one of us is the eighth millionaire. But nonetheless, you should go to DailyRoto.com and check it out. Their projections are very muted on Tennessee players, in particular Derrick Henry, not even expecting 10 points. But Deion Lewis is the one guy that has, as Scott said, has survived it, and I'll be using him in a couple of leagues. As far as down-the-line plays, Cam Newton is an okay play because, as I mentioned earlier, for DFS, he's aiming for his sixth in a row with 50-plus rushing yards, so you always have a good floor with Cam Newton, even if you don't have as high a projected total this week as maybe some other weeks. You're always going to have a good floor with Cam Newton. And then a couple of guys. You mentioned something earlier, I think, in this segment, Scott, about Tyrod Taylor, maybe Jim, you did, regarding the injury. He rushed for 77 yards with a touchdown and had a passing touchdown last week. So in a game where they're expected to, where they're a heavy underdog again on the road, all this drama with Josh Gordon, they're in New Orleans, but you'd have to see some kind of, even though he passed the ball terribly last week, you'd have to see, Scotty, some sort of upside from Tyrod Taylor in a potentially positive game script with the Browns having to throw their way back into it.
I'm not sure about that. I was a little more optimistic that he was going to have a healthy Gordon this week. I really think that, like, football is a game of emotion. And when you see one team play as badly as the Saints did last week, when they have so much more talent on defense, Marshawn Lattimore had the worst game of his career last year, I think, according to Pro Football Focus. And that's kind of the kind of performance where they close the locker room doors, and say it's us against the world. We got to come out and prove it next week. Football's a game of emotion and adrenaline, and I really think that that New Orleans defense is going to come out this week and play very, very well. So that scares me about Tyrod Taylor and the Browns.
Understandable. Jim, a couple other guys that look good for tournament plays are Patty Mahomes, who we talked about earlier, I think 53.5 is the current total on that game. Let me just double check the latest. It's 53.5, Kansas City of Pittsburgh. So Pat Mahomes potentially duking it out with Ben Roethlisberger. And then Matt Stafford potentially duking it out with Jimmy Garoppolo. And clearly his defense didn't play well last week. They're on the road. I think it's the assumption that Stafford may have to get into a battle here with Jimmy G to try and keep up.
Well, I like Mahomes more than I like Stafford in this matchup. Look, like you said, Detroit didn't play well. Stafford didn't play well last week. Going into San Fran, having to fly out to the coast for that. Plus their implied point total is down to, just over 21 points. So they're not looking for them to put up a lot of points in this matchup. Look, I just I'm not trusting Stafford until I see him have a good game. I want to see him get more involved. I want to see him put the ball in the end zone. And I'm just not sure if that's going to happen this week against San Fran. That bothers me a little bit. I mean, San Fran gave up a lot to Minnesota last week. But I'm just looking at the Vegas lines, and they're not liking Stafford much this week either.
Scotty, anything else about Stafford and Mahomes?
The one thing about Stafford is this is a possible rebound spot for him matchup-wise. This is a not very good San Francisco defense, so we could be looking at a little bit of a higher-scoring affair. I think I'm going to go for check what the over-under is there, but I'm probably going to take the over.
Good stuff. We'll come back. We'll talk about running backs. In the second segment, we'll give you a sense of some of those injuries, how it can impact your DFS lineups and how it's impacting your season-long lineups. A lot of movement at that position early on in the season. It's Mike, Scott, and Jim. It's Fantasy Sports Today, Game Day Edition. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST, it's the Game Day Edition, and I know all of you are eager to give us a call. We'll do that in the second hour. We got a lot of information to go through in this first hour. We'll do that in the second hour. And Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with single entry contests. It's a fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools. They have great free contests promos like Survivor, Super Bowl Squares, and March Madness Bracket Contest. So sign up today. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. So we will do our Survivor picks a little bit later in the show. I had the Ravens last week. What did you guys have last week? I should probably keep track of this.
Who did I have last week? I think I had Tennessee last week.
That's a tough one.
I'm pretty sure I had Green Bay, and I was
Man. I almost won in week one. Jeez. Well, I'll say this. In the one that I do during the week, so I changed my pick from the week show on Fridays with Dane Martinez, and Scott is part of that contest as well. I changed my pick from Friday to Monday, so to Sunday rather. So on air on Sunday, I changed it to the Ravens, and in the contest I'm in for a little bit of cash with some friends, I picked the Ravens. But I said Saints on air last Friday, so Dane won the pool in week one. Scott picked the Titans, I picked the Saints, Dane picked the Ravens, and he's already the winner. So we rebooted it. And we'll see how it goes from there. But, man, I was so close to it.
I have a tendency when it comes to survivor pools to outthink myself.
100%.
You know, I try to get too cute trying to get that niche win so I could save the big guys. I finally learned not to do that. Take the big guys early, survive a little while, and then you can worry about the later matchups as they come.
I stink at survivor pools. The one survivor pool I was really in, this was a long time ago. It was like, I would say it's 15 years ago, I was cruising along. I probably got like halfway through the season, and I had to like travel for work, and it slipped my mind completely. So when you don't enter a pick, it goes to the highest spread on the board, and they auto pick it for you. And it was the Colts, a Peyton Manning led Colts team, and they lost despite being the biggest favorite on the board. So I was toast because I literally forgot to make a pick.
Well, we saw a lot of that last week with the Saints.
Yeah, no doubt.
So many people were on the Saints as 10-point favorites, and, of course, we know that didn't work.
I'll tell you, I really thought about it long and hard last week, as evidenced by the fact that I made two different elections on air. I really thought about it hard, and you know, if I had thought about it for 5 minutes longer, I might have switched over to the Saints from the Ravens in that pool. But I guess I should try to avoid divisional games because you never know what's going on there. Or maybe just avoid Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know. Maybe that's a lesson learned.
Yeah, the divisional games thing is probably the best rule to have, because It could be lower scoring than you expect. It could be higher scoring than you expect.
Yeah, that was a shocker. The 48-40 score was the first time in NFL history that a game came in with that exact score. So pretty interesting.
And I have to say, Scott, that was brilliant analysis. It could be lower or higher.
Yeah, there you go.
Way to go.
He cut.
It's simple. It's simple, though. I don't know if he's messing with me there or not.
I think he's messing with you a little bit. Yeah. I would go with he's messing
bit,
with you.
But, you know, the Eagles, Tampa Bay over under is 43.5 this week. I'm going under.
It's funny you say that because I felt really confident that Philly was going to win, and then I remembered that they didn't play well in week one, so I backed off of it. I'm just going with the Saints again. Since everybody lost on the Saints last week, I figure I'll go. My recency bias will take me towards there. So, Jim, let's turn the page over to the running backs. Scotty's got, and we'll do PPR ranks here. Again, you can go to rotoexperts.com to find these rankings. So it comes in with Todd Gurley at number one. No surprise there, going up against Arizona. Arizona was way – I hemmed and hawed a lot during the preseason about Arizona and maybe taking the over. I'm in an over-under competition, and gladly I didn't do it because they looked terrible in week one. And I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Rosen is breathing down Bradford's neck even this week. So
this is one of my favorite things about DFS this week is that Sam Bradford is lower priced than Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, or Geno Smith. Three guys not even going to see the field, and he's priced lower. I couldn't help laugh when I saw that.
I mean, that's a punt kind of play. If you want to be differentiated in a tournament, that's one way to go. I mean, he'd probably have to throw his way back into it.
And if you want to lose. And if you want to lose, that's definitely the way to go.
So starts out with Todd Gurley. And
maybe I'll go ultra contrarian with Blaine Gabbert today.
Oh, don't. Please don't do that. He can run, though.
Ryan Fitzpatrick can do it. Well, I don't think.
I'll say this.
I don't think Blaine Gabbert can.
I don't want to go down a wormhole, but Gabbert's a really good athlete, so he actually provides, at times, a little bit of a floor with running.
Compared to you and me, yeah.
I'm just saying, in an Alex Smith kind of way, I'm not comparing him to him. Just from an athleticism standpoint, Gabbert can run it a little bit, but I don't want to get into the positive traits of Blaine Gabbert while we're talking about running backs. We'll get far too distracted.
If we had some time, we could compare him athletically to Brandon Weeden and, you know, see who comes out ahead there.
Well, Brandon Weeden's got red hair. I have red hair. I have to defend all redheads. It's a rule. It's a part of our agreement.
Nothing wrong with that.
I have to do it at the meetings. So Alvin Kamara, Melvin Gordon comes in at number three, David Johnson at four, Zeke Elliott at five, Saquon Barkley at six, James Conner at seven, Christian McCaffrey at eight, Kareem Hunt at nine. I'll pause there, Jim. David Johnson at number four going up against a really tough Rams defense. Obviously, the volume is always there, and you're not going to bench him, but do you have concerns about David Johnson going up against his defense?
Well, I have concerns about David Johnson just because of the coaching change there. You know, we've gone from an ultra, you know, a coach who loves to throw it and get the ball down the field to a coach that, you know, is under that John Fox type regime where he doesn't want it. He wants to be ultra conservative. And because of that, we didn't see David Johnson involved in the passing game at all last week, which is just ridiculous, first of all. Second of all, I mean, if you don't get him involved in the passing game, that kills his value. So it really hurts. I mean, I can't say I wouldn't put him at four, but at the same time, I am concerned. I hope they get him more involved in the passing game this week. They have to. If they don't get him more involved in this week, it's definitely going to be a concern. He's going to return value this year.
Scotty, that was my big concern in the preseason. That was my concern about the preseason was the coaching change. And it was never a talent thing, obviously. I was just really worried. I didn't know how a defensive-minded head coach was going to come in and handle this offense, even though Mike McCoy's there, and he should be able to do a good job with it.
Look, they got destroyed last week, but they did target David Johnson. And what you have to remember is, you know, this team's going to play from behind. They'll probably throw to him. And if there's one way for them to stay in the game, you know, especially, you know, I think Alex Barron is going to be out this week. You know, the weak point of that defense is the linebackers. And, you know, we saw with the Rams last year. that I think they first finished like 31st against opposing running backs last year in fantasy points allowed. There's one way to attack that defense. And let's remember, it's a divisional game here too. So things may not go exactly as we predicted. You know, I'm keeping David Johnson top four this week.
That's a really good point about the Rams defense. They obviously got a ton of publicity for signing free agents and making some trades, and they brought in Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and Ndamukong Suh, and they paid Aaron Donald. But the linebackers still are a little bit of a weak spot. They got rid of Alec Ogletree, who had struggled a lot in pass coverage, and now Jim has to deal with him as a Giants fan. And then Mark Barron, who is their one really reliable tackler, is doubtful for this week with an Achilles. I would imagine he's not going to play if he's doubtful as of didn't practice Friday, and he's doubtful as of yesterday. That's usually a no. Even though he's got a little bit later in the day to make that decision. But I think it's a good point there. And I think there could be some work to be done. One thing on Chris McCaffrey, Jim, and I'll let you comment. He had 95 scrimmage yards, 50 rushing, 45 receiving last week. He fumbled near the goal line, which, you know, would have been obviously a big opportunity for fantasy owners. But he has 86 receptions since last year. It's the second most among NFL RBs behind Alvin Kamara's 90. So he has 148 scrimmage yards and a rushing touchdown in two career meetings against Atlanta. So there might be some work to be done here for Chris McCaffrey.
Oh, I love McCaffrey this week, especially because of the injuries in Atlanta. I mean, Deion Jones being out, Keanu Neal being out. These are the guys that were really tasked with trying to stop pass catching running backs. And they're going to be hurt in those positions. In fact, going to a rookie on one side. I don't think it's going to really play out well for them at all in that case. I like McCaffrey a ton this week. I think he's going to be a chalk play in DFS for sure as someone who's going to catch, I expect, 7-8 passes easily, probably even more.
Keep going through Scott's ranks. Kareem Hunt at number 9, Joe Mixon at number 10. You know about the Joe Mixon injury now in a nice game the other night. He's touching the ball a lot. I think this is positive for those Mixon owners. And you could expect him, assuming he gets fully healthy, to have some breakout games a little bit later this year. Dalvin Cook at number 11 is pretty interesting. He played a lot more snaps last week than I anticipated, Scott. And you like Jordan Howard at 12. I'll pause here in a second. Lamar Miller at 13. You don't see him as high on a week-to-week basis lately. Jay Ajayi at 14, Chris Thompson at 15, Kenyon Drake at 16, Alex Collins at 17, and Deion Lewis at 18. So Dalvin Cook played a lot more snaps last week than we anticipated, Scott.
I think you'll probably see even more of him this week. I think now that he's healthy, they brought him along slowly in the preseason. They want him to have a full workload. And, very explosive in both the running game and as a receiver. Almost broke a big play or two last week. And, you still want to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field as much as possible. And, the way to do that is, to run the ball. So I like Cook this week. But Howard, with the Seattle linebackers, all the injuries they have, no Bobby Wagner, no K.J. Wright, I think Jordan Howard's a really good daily play today.
I'll give you some sense on the DFS side of things today. Kamara is a little bit of a FanDuel lean, but he's very expensive, as is Todd Gurley. James Conner is really the best value on the slate again. I think he came in at 7,000 in my FanDuel lineup. I'll double-check all that for you right now. Where is that? Yeah. James Conner at 7,000 on FanDuel, so he's a very good value. And then we have Christian McCaffrey, we just talked about. He's a little bit of a DraftKings lean because of his pass-catching ability. Melvin Gordon, David Johnson. LeSean McCoy is a little bit of an interesting play. They were completely inept last week, Jim. But he's aiming for his third in a row versus the Chargers with over 125 scrimmage yards. And in his past 15 games at home, he's averaging over 122 scrimmage yards per game and 17 touchdowns. So there's more than a touchdown a game. And since entering the league in 2009, he leads the NFL in scrimmage yards. But LeSean McCoy, you'd have to take a leap of faith, obviously, with the rookie Josh Allen in at quarterback. But there could be enough volume here to make him valuable, especially as his price has dropped significantly on DFS.
I like McCoy this week, actually. I think he's a good, solid play. Look, last week they got buried early in that game, and he just never got involved with Peterman on the field. Josh Allen starting this week, and while he's not a great quarterback yet, I think at some point he will be very good, but he's not there yet. But he has that strong arm, so they have to give him a little bit of respect that way. Plus, he's also a mobile quarterback, and I think both of those things come to help McCoy open up some holes, and they're definitely going to want to get him the ball more involved this week than they did last week by far. So, you know, McCoy is one of those guys that he doesn't really need a great team around him to put up good fantasy points, and I think we see that today, even against his Chargers defense, who just really didn't do a lot last week that we expected them to do.
Yeah, look, there's two guys that are going to be very chalky this week, too, in DFS at the running back position. You'll see significant ownership, especially in cash games. There's James Conner, who I already mentioned, and then Tevin Coleman, who we talk about at the top of the show. So Tevin Coleman, I mean, on FanDuel, he's at $5,900. That's $1,100 less than James Conner, who's considered to be priced very well on volume. So where does Tevin Coleman fall in your ranks, Scott? I mean, the Freeman news comes out yesterday that he's definitely not going to play. So Coleman shoots up really to nearly an RB1 value, even against a tough Carolina defense.
Yeah, he's high RB2 for me, though. It is a tough defense, but I think, you know, if they move the ball, that they can get into the end zone. You know, Coleman can handle the load as both a runner and a receiver. But I see this maybe as a lower scoring game here between Atlanta and Carolina. I mean, you saw a lower scoring one last week between these two teams, and I think that's probably what's going to happen again here in week two between these two ball clubs. And you know, I'm looking for the over under here, and I can't seem to find it. I'll take the under.
I have it in front of you. The Atlanta Carolina over under is 44 right now, according to Westgate.
Yeah, I'm definitely going under that. Yeah.
So like a 20-17 type of game for you, or 20-14, something along those lines. So,
17-13, something like that.
So, Dalvin Cook, we mentioned that'd be a good tournament play. Deion Lewis, as Scott mentioned earlier, you know, the injuries to Rex Burkhead, he's out there practicing. It seems likely he'll play, but I think it really increases the value on James White. We talked about T.J. Yeldon as well. I think T.J. Yeldon can be a cash play. And certainly you can use him in tournaments, but I think T.J. Yeldon is a good cash play because the value is down. Look, anytime there's injuries to starting running backs, they're backups that are going to receive a much bigger market share, or the entire market share, are immense values in DFS. They just are. So James Conner's price hasn't come all the way up yet because the Le'Veon Bell thing still lingers, but Tevin Coleman comes out of nowhere. He's a starting running back. T.J. Yeldon sort of comes out of nowhere, starting running back. That's just the reality of it. I'll give you two more guys before we head to break. Jalen Richard was a very popular pickup on waiver wires this week, Jim. Marshawn Lynch maybe not toting the rock as much as some expected, but really he caught 9 passes. Jalen Richard was targeted a lot. Thoughts about his value this week in particular against Denver?
Well, again, I think he comes into play this week just on the passing side alone. This Denver defense is tough. They can definitely get against opposing running backs easily. They're very good against that. They're very good against wide receivers as well. I think that opens it up a little bit for Richard in this game. And let's face it, you know, Carr did not surprise anybody with the bad game he had last week, missing wide open receivers. I think he checks down a lot again, and I wouldn't be surprised if Richard again sees, you know, 10-plus targets in this one.
Yeah, Scott, one more before break. We got Alfred Morris is averaging 85 rushing yards per game in his past 4 games when he has at least 15 carries. Do you think he can get to the 15 carries, and do you think he can get to that 85-yard threshold today?
Yeah, I think so. You know, that Detroit defense really doesn't scare anybody. You know, I think they want to establish more ball control. It was a tough matchup last week for Morris. He pulled off one nice 14-yard run, and you know he ran well when he was pressed into service last year for the Dallas Cowboys.
When we come back at the top of the hour, we'll do wide receivers. We'll reset some of the big stories of the day. As far as running backs are concerned, some good tournament plays. Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson in a game script issue with New Orleans. And Kareem Hunt, you got some touchdown risks there with him not scoring them, but an interesting tournament pivot. It's Mike, Scott, and Jim back for hour number 2, Fantasy Sports Today, right after this.